guys. So this is going to be the first episode of Conversations of the Heart, which is the first season of my podcast. And I wanted to make a podcast where I introduce myself directly and say everything about myself. But I decided to be more creative and decided that since I write poems that are all about me, mostly about me, some of them about my friends and things like that, or about the society, but some of them, or most of them, about me. So I arranged it in such a way that as you follow through this podcast, as they come out every Friday, you would know more about me. So today we're going to be talking about complication, and complication is the name of the poem I'm going to be talking about, and it's a poem that's going to be talking about, and I'm going to, it's good that it's going to talk about or explain me better. Okay, so now complication, I think I wrote it 2018, I think December, but I'll check it out later. But I wrote it 2018 December because there was this poet competition. It was called Le Poet, La Culture Le Poet competition. I was one of the organizers with two of my other friends, and we're supposed to write a poem titled Complication. So every day they would give you a quote and a name of the poem, or a title of the poem you're supposed to write about, and then we were supposed to use that initiative, follow the quote and write something relating to that. So I don't remember exactly what the quote was, because it's like 2 years ago, but I remember that the quote was something about life being too hard, someone having a complicated life. I know that was the whole point. And I knew everyone was going to try to write about someone going through a lot of problems. And me being Solomon, I decided to do something different. Okay, so let's twist it. So like, instead of writing about someone whose life is really, really hard, let me write about myself and someone whose life is made hard by himself. So in real sense, complication is about someone who, your life is hard, yes it's hard, but you're making it harder by overestimating and over-exaggerating the effect of little things or little problems in your life. So that is the background to the poem. But after I read the poem, I'll give you the main themes. Okay, so let's go. Complications. I'm a typical example of a failed abortion, a mistake at that time that brought confusion. I wasn't supposed to be part of my family inclusion. I am the result of my father's untamed temptation. For a long time, the story defined my existence. I told myself it was the reason for my difference. And ever since then, I've been under its strong influence. But it was high time to put the past in past tense. So now, I wouldn't focus on my flaws, but I remember they are there. I would walk on them, but still my personality will be there. I will always regard my shortcoming as part of my identity. Because no human is perfect, and that's a reality. I won't let little circumstances determine who I am. And for the things I can change, I will do all I can. I will do everything in my power not to complicate. I will not complicate my life, thinking it's a criteria to be great. And that was on the 13th day of December 2018, 10:26 p.m. I probably was late. That's why I wrote it that late, because I know we're supposed to submit the poem in the morning. So now, complication is, first thing first, I would never show my father this poem because I did say he could not tame his temptation, and I don't think that's something he wants to hear. The first thing first, my mother did try to abort me because, well, she had too many children, and my father is a kind of man, he doesn't live with us. He lives with us, but he doesn't live with us. So how do I explain this? He's an absentee father. He comes and he goes. Not like he comes and leaves the family and say, I'm leaving you and I'm done. And then he comes back and say, please accept me. I made a mistake. No, not that kind of leaving and coming back. I mean, he travels. He works in another country. And he just travels and comes back. So he spends most of his time working in another country. And when he comes back, he is with us, his family. I don't know if he has another family, but I'm already 18 years old, and I've never heard of any other siblings, so I don't think there is one. But if there is one, well, I've had my suspicions, but it's fine. So my mother tried to abort me because she had 4 children already. Well, she's had, we're supposed to be 8 children originally, but she had 7, or she had 6 already. So when I was a 7th child, I was supposed to be the 7th child, and she's like, all her pregnancies have had issues, all her pregnancies have been complicated, have been a serious problem, and she doesn't want to go through that stress again. And then she thought she could abort me. Like, she thought she could, but like, it didn't work out. So she tried to do all this whole, I don't know how they abort people or children, because I've never done it, and I've never told someone to do it. I don't know how to do it. But she did all the things that she could, and it didn't just work out. And because of she was so remorseful about the act, because how dare you try and abort me? So because she was so remorseful about the act, she was always talking about it when I was younger. And I guess it was supposed to have a positive effect on me, and it should have, like, it should. But what it had was a negative effect. So I kept on telling myself that, you know what, you have a very big head, Suleiman, because they tried to abort you. I would say I'm quiet because I was the best behaved boy when I was in primary school. I went to Christian school, and I definitely am not very behaved. So when you give me best behavior, you can imagine how much shell I'm putting myself in class. I wouldn't talk to anybody. I would act all nice and everything, and they just give me best behaved boy. And I was saying I can't talk in front of crowd. Guess why? Because they tried to abort me. So everything in my life just went back to a point where I felt, oh, my family didn't want me. So if I have issues, if I'm this way, it's because they tried to abort me. It made so much sense. It made me feel justified. It made me feel special that, oh, you know what? I survived through this, and all these little problems I have are just a result of this one thing that happened. So I felt like I wasn't supposed to belong in that family, and I felt like, you know what, this is the reason for all my problems. And that is what a lot of us do so many times. We pick one problem that shouldn't be magnified. We pick one thing that is tiny, yes, it happened, but then we use it to justify all the situations that are going on in our life, and it just isn't so. So that's like the first stanza, and that's like the first thing that happened. So, you know, they tried to abort me, and they try to do a lot of things, but I'm like, you know what, I'm coming to Earth. If I knew it was Nigeria, I probably wouldn't have fought so hard. But that's a joke. But I came, and I'm like, I'm gonna be here, and I made it. So that's the first part for the first stanza. The second stanza, where for a long time the story defined my existence, I told myself it was the reason for my difference, and ever since then I've been under its strong influence. But it was high time to put the past in past tense. This is the funny thing. There was no past to put in past tense, because left to me, I didn't even know when I was 1 year old. I didn't know what abortion is. I didn't know what I was fighting for. I didn't know that someone was trying to kill me, obviously. So when I'm saying put the past in past tense, like someone broke my heart and threw me on the street and I just felt so abused, it's like, are you putting behind? But then at this point, I was 16 years old, so I was really talking from my heart and saying, I'm putting the past in past tense. But the truth is, there was no problem. Yes, I was in the womb, they tried to abort me. But I came out fine. Yes, you had complications. Yes, they broke up with you. Yes, things happened to you, and it's bad, it's sad. But the truth is, we genuinely can move on when we realize that some problems, they are big problems, they are small problems. I'm not saying small problems should be thrown away, should be seen as nothing, but I'm saying there are small problems that can easily be fixed. But sometimes we keep it pending. So you hear people holding grudges or people saying that, oh, this happened to me and this is the reason why I'm like this. And it's just so small, but I've kept it for so long that it has grown so big that even when they are saying the problem, you're like, wow, this is a big deal. But it really isn't. I'm saying there's a past, I'm keeping the past in past tense, but there is no past, because what? What can I remember? What did I do to fight? I didn't literally fight. If I should say anything happened, I'll probably say I was lucky and God's grace and mercy, yes. But I can't really, really, really say that there was a past that was genuinely putting behind me, because it was just an abortion that I didn't even fight for. That is how some problems are. They are so small, they could be so irrelevant. Emphasis on they could be so irrelevant, but we magnify them. And that is where the problem comes in. Which reminds me, I have this friend, before I go to the third and fourth stanza, I have this friend whom yesterday she told me that she had problems. She has a dad like mine that is absent, and every time he comes, it's really uncomfortable. I know how that feels. Like, you know, when you didn't grow up with your father, he comes and he goes, and he spends most time not with you. So when he comes, it's like we just have to put up a pretense. It's like a guest is in the house, and you just have to behave yourself around the guest. Like, that is how it really feels for people who have absent fathers. And it's not, I don't think my father is a bad person. I can't say he is not. I can say he is. And later on, I have a poem for that, but I don't know my father. I know him, but I don't know him personally. Every time we have a conversation, it's like I'm counting down to the end of it. But he provides, and he is nice, and my mother loves him, so I guess that. And I think I love him. It's a whole complicated issue, but it's all right. So my friend said something, and she always has this problem where she's always ranting. She's always like, she can call me and just complain for 10 minutes, just keep ranting and keep talking, and you're like, okay, what can I do? And you want to say something because I don't see a point in ranting and I'm not going to say anything. And then you're like, oh, what can I do to help this individual? And yesterday she said something that I feel like hurt my ego, but I kind of also, beyond the fact that it hurt my ego, I also created a reason why it was sort of wrong. So she said something, because every time she says something, every time she calls me and she just starts talking about everything, and I try to say, you know what, just do this, just do this, just do this. And she's like, at some point yesterday, in our conversation yesterday, she's like, I don't want any advice. I just want to rant and rant and rant because this is going to be my life. If I make it through today, that's fine. If I don't make it, and I'm like, and then I'm like, okay, no problem. I understand you. But in my head, I'm like, how can we live a life? And I was hurt because I'm like, how dare you tell me to shut up? But in the real sense, I'm like, we can't live a life. We shouldn't live a life where we see situations and problems and we're thinking that, oh, you know what, let me just keep living through it and seeing how my life will end up, because this is such a, it's so hard and there's nothing that can be done about it. I'm just going to keep going and see if I survive the next day and the upper day. You can't live that kind of life. So I'm like, what is the point of ranting and complaining if you are not looking for a solution to your problem? So you have a problem. Okay, so I don't want to go deep into what the problem was, but you know what, maybe I should. So she is going to be doing a lot and a lot and a lot of things for her father to please him, and he's not going to be pleased because that's just how absent fathers are. I don't know. It's like when they come back, they want to show they are in charge. And I remember when my father did that, when he came back and I was working like a houseman, eating like an ant, and I was tired. I was working so hard in my, left to me, I felt like I was working so hard, and he did not regard, he didn't put any, it felt like he was blind to everything I was doing. And I was tired. But someone told me, you just have to keep pushing harder. If he's complaining that you are waking up at 8 o'clock and that's not how he did it in his own time, wake up 6. If he's complaining that 6 is too late, wake up 4. Because you know what? It might last for 5 years, 6 years, but that's not forever. So, you know, I did that. And although he still acted blindly to what I was doing, he kind of reduced the way he was always complaining. Was almost like he wasn't appreciated, but he wasn't complaining as much, and I could live with that. I wasn't settling for less, but I knew I wouldn't always be in a position to always be pleasing my father. I knew I wasn't always going to be the person sweeping and tidying the house. I knew that I would eventually grow out of this house, and just before I grew out of this house, I would do things that would make me have a balanced life. So when I was waking up 6 a.m. I wasn't waking up crying and saying, oh God, I have a miserable life. What will happen to me tomorrow? I was waking up saying, you know what? I'm going to do this and I might have 6 years, 5 years, but it's going to be fine. Everything is a period of time and I'm going to move from this phase. I'm going to go into another phase. So I don't see a reason why people have problems. People have tiny things or big things, and we have the mindset that, you know what? Let's magnify it. Let's live in this problem and let's just stay here and choke ourselves to death. I genuinely feel that people can move on from this. Now, to the third stanza, which is, so now, I won't focus on my flaws, but I'll remember they are there. keep in your mind that the flaws I was talking about then, that was my flaw, was I had a big head and I was shy. But that all in my head came from abortion. It's a serious poem here, but I'm just telling you the truth. I had a big head and I was shy, and that was my problem. That exactly was the problem I had. And I would work on them, but still my personality would be there. I actually do not know how I wanted to work on my head, but I had a pretty good reason then. I don't know how, but I had a good reason then. I would work on them, but still my personality would be there. I will always regard my shortcoming as part of my identity. Yes, because you must see my head, and my head will always be there. Because no human is perfect, and that's a reality. That's the truth. No matter how beautiful, or no matter how rich, no matter how anyone is, no one is perfect. Oh, something just came into my mind. Part of the things that made this poem so dear to me is, I felt that, so I grew up around my sister, so I'm not a very macho kind of person. And if you come across me, the first thing you would think is, why is this boy acting like a girl? And for some reason, I actually blame that on my abortion, or on my almost abortion. I don't know why, but I had so much things to blame on this problem and make this problem look like it was such a big deal. And I did blame. And for a long while, I hated meeting people because I had a big head. I don't know if I still have a big head or if he reduced, but I had a big head, and it was just, no, I felt I could be more macho, but I don't know why. I can't even say I know why I put that as a problem. I don't know why I said that problem was because of abortion, because I don't know how you being almost aborted makes you or affects your masculinity or femininity, the whole gender thing. I don't know how, but in my head then it did. It's like, you are the reason for my problem and I can't fix you, so I'm going to keep on blaming you. But that's not how I should be. Finally, which is last stanza and where I conclude on almost everything I have to say, is, I won't let little circumstances determine who I am, and for the tiny things I can change, I'll do all I can. I will do everything in my power not to complicate. I won't complicate my life thinking it's a criteria to be great. I will let you know that I changed some things in this line very recently, as recently as this year. It didn't end like that before, but it would end like that now. Because I realized that little circumstances. The truth is that some of the things we go through have effect, but the effect are magnified by our mindset. So I was reading and I was ready to say, well, I'm gonna let little things, little problems determine who I am. And for the things I can change, I will do all I can. There are some problems I have that I can do all, that I can change, that I can work on. Yes, there are genuine problems like that. There's problem of shyness. Yes, I am shy. I was shy. But you know what? I'm no longer shy. I talk to people. I can talk to anyone. I can walk up to you and talk to you. I can stand in front of a stage and talk to you. Yeah. For the little things I can change, I will do all I can. I would do everything in my power not to complicate. I would start separating problems and saying, this is the problem, this problem does not affect this problem. Yes, there's some problems that affect each other, but I'm going to separate these problems. I'm going to separate these problems and work on them individually. And finally, the mindset that when you have a hard background or a terrible backstory, you're suddenly going to be Oprah Winfrey. That's not the truth. Yes, if you have a ugly history, you have tendency to be great or to be successful. If you work on all those things and put it into a positive light, but if you're just going to leave it there and say, as long as I suffer, I know the future will tell. Yes, the future will tell, and you'll be suffering there too. Future will tell you that you never really worked on your problem. People believe that the more, I had this other friend that she liked to go through pain. Every time she cried, and I feel like that was me at some point, every time I cried, I felt a bit of happiness. It meant like I would talk about all these tears and say how the pain, I will talk about all this pain and say how it made me rich. I will talk about all this rejection and say how it made me famous. And people actually do these things where they feel like, I want to actually suffer. So because they want to actually suffer, they magnify problems just so that the mindset that everyone that becomes successful, or most people that become successful, have terrible beginnings or have hard beginnings. The truth is, no. Do not complicate your life. If you complicate your life and you don't get out of it, you'll find out that you are not going to be great. It's not a criteria to great. Yes, you must go through some things, but still, some people do not go through so much pain and they're still great. Some people do not have to go through so much hell. People have their different lives to live. So don't, if your life is not hard, if you're okay and you don't have bad, you are not molested, raped, or some bad things do not happen to you, do not go and put yourself in a situation where you now magnify a problem just so that you feel equal to someone who has been abused and say, okay, I wasn't abused, but you were abused. But yes, I have equal problems with you. Do not, it's a problem, should not be a competition. Don't go around looking for who suffered more, who went through more pain. We need to understand these things. So as I conclude on this whole segment, I want us to put in our heads, in our minds, that the whole point of life is for us to grow, develop, go through some terrible things and learn from it. It's not for us to dwell on it, but to learn from it. And we need to know these things because, yeah, I was almost aborted, and for a long while, it looked like something that I wanted to carry all through to make me feel special, to make me feel strong, to make me feel like I deserve all the attention in the world. But no, that's not how it's supposed to be. On this note, I'm going to bring this to an end, and next poem is going to be about my nationality, although I already told you where I'm from, but I'm going to be talking about my race and how it affected my mentality, and that'll be next week, Friday, and you can find this on, I would upload the pictorial form of this poem on my Instagram, and I believe I have already linked my Instagram account to Anchor, and you can find my Instagram, but just in case you can't find it, it's Solomon. It's basically XXOLOMON. It's Solomon, but instead of S, it's double X, like for xylophone. So yes, and I do hope you had a great time, and see you again.